Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming extending, expanding universe of more content, more stuff all the time. That's us. We are currently playing a game called Scene Thieves, which is an RPG by Tyler Crumrine, illustrated by Paul Clarisseau. You can hear the uncertainty in my voice. I have pronounced them differently on both episodes, so by the time we get to the third episode, hopefully one will be correct. And as you can imagine, this seemed like the perfect game to be playing for a return to the Roman Rogues, Sasha's brood of adopted thieves, acrobats, and otherwise extraordinary kids, family, doers of things. That's the word. thieves of scenes, in this particular case. That's the word. And we had, at the end of last episode, just finished our first scene. We had established that we were doing a stealing in the house of the mayor. I don't think we established the exact, like, role that they have, whether they're a net mayor or a king or just an ombudsman.
Names even.
Yeah, but we established they were evil, right?
Yes.
The most important part.
The bad ombudsman, the yes. Naughty king, the evil mayor.
The naughty king.
That should have been the title of the play.
It should have been.
And we've established that this naughty king had sent a spy who has stolen important writings from Kikero. And Sasha has sent us, who were not necessarily her most competent and skilled thieves, but were the ones that weren't present when the spy was visiting, so we won't be recognised. She has sent us to infiltrate the bad, naughty ombudsman, mayor, ruler person's office by putting on a play and getting those important secret writings back. We have formed the theatre company called The Harlequins, and we have established that our play is called The Dog of Sicily, subtitle do crimes go unpunished? So that's actually the core dramatic question of the thing. But like, clearly a lot of us are more familiar with like Elizabethan theatre than we are Roman theatre. So everything is just getting a super extended title page. It's like Google hadn't been invented, but they were really like SEO heavy.
Yes.
In the first scene, narrated by Helen, our prop that was randomly selected was the lamp. And Julia, our lead character, ran through the dark carrying a lamp and met up with a guard who she tried to convince to help her recover her stolen purse while she, not exposition, what? What is exposition? Just happened to describe the whole state of the town, or the island rather. I don't know, is Sicily a town? There's towns on Sicily. The town on Sicily. It's full of crime. And she moaned about that a bit. And surprisingly to all of us, the guard was convinced to help her. And meanwhile, the heist continued off stage. It wouldn't work very well if it was on stage, where Faustina, a character nominally played by Lowry, we kind of created characters and then realised that we didn't need to play characters, bounced around with a flute and pipe gun situation, shooting out all the lamps that led on the way to the office where we're going to try and break into to get some papers back. So that's where we are. It is drama on stage. It is drama off stage. Who wants to take scene number two?
I'll have a go, I guess.
Ben will have a go. I'm loving the confidence. Shall you roll your perversion of time and space that is a D16?
Indeed. I got a 6. That Ooh. Is a D6.
They had them. They had them back then.
So, let's say we, in the Dog of Sicily, the guard and Julia set off and they find themselves at a, or they follow the trail to a gambler's den of Ooh. Ill repute.
They're my favourite type of gambler's den. The ones with well repute are just rubbish.
That's crap. they make their way inside to try and find the thief. And then, obviously, they find them gambling at a table and doing very well, using Julia's money as stakes. So Julia challenges them to a game of chance in order to get her winnings back, because she is a bold young lady. Little does she know that the gambler is using a loaded dice, which is the D6. So the obstacle here is, will Julia be able to beat this dishonest gambler and get her stuff back?
Cool.
Off stage. Mm-hmm. Off stage, we're using a D6. Mm. So we've darkened the corridor to the office. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, as was established, there are still guards, although they're now standing there a bit in the dark. So I think that it is the part of, because we said knives, gusset, which I'm going to take as fighting, to distract the guards and remove them from the situation, which he will do by using the D6 to create a clattery noise in a corner.
Yay!
And when the guards are like, what's going on over there? I'll go investigate.
Their cone of visual awareness that swings
Gusset
around.
Can sneak up behind them, press X, and go bonk.
As we've established, everyone who works for this bad mayor is mean.
Yeah,
you can do a nasty on them.
Actually in their employment contract.
Yeah.
Only hiring absolute.
So, Lowry is the keeper of the coin.
I am the keeper of the coin. I will roll for the play first.
Oh, the drama.
I say roll. Flip. Ooh, I'm afraid it fails.
Oh, no.
That loaded die did its work.
So, Julia has, well, I don't know, lost against the gambler.
What did she bet? Because I'm going to guess that she didn't have her money had been nicked. So what did she bet? What did she lose?
She bet the only thing that she had on her, which was the lamp, which is a precious lamp which belonged to her brother, who was lost at sea.
You're doing great. Yes. I love it. I'm on board.
Is it her twin brother by any chance? Or is it...
Yes,
good? Absolutely. Julius and Julia are twins. So that's a terrible disaster has befallen. Tragic, some might say.
Flipping for offstage. Oh, it's a success.
Yes. I mean, it's kind of self-evident. All the guards are like, what's over here? Oh, no. Donk. And they all end up... Donk flomp, and they all end up in some sort of cupboard. Never to wake up again during this level, but don't worry.
Fine.
In this universe, brain damage doesn't exist, so
Yay,
it's okay.
They're fine.
Yay.
Unless, of course, another guard finds them and goes, get up, and they'll be like, oh, I'm awake now. I've been playing too much Hitman.
There's so much detail now been added. It's that kind of thing where you can kind of awkwardly be like, this is improv linking the ideas, but it's actually amazing because now we have a twin.
Yeah. Yes.
Tragedy to work with. Very cool. Very cool. Who wants to do the third scene? Laurie, do you want to flip a coin whether you and me should do it?
Oh, yeah. I'll do it. So that was 10. So I am now working with a cool horsehair mohawk helmet.
I believe in Helen's initial description, it was like what the Roman soldiers wear.
Like what the Roman soldiers
wear. Yeah, it's one of those crested red helmet things. The centurion's helmet.
Yes.
I think.
So I'm thinking, how did we leave it? So Julia lost her lamp.
Yes, okay.
And the guards rushed in. Oh, no, that was a separate thing. Sorry. Yeah. I was like, and then the guards were knocked out. It's like, no, that was a different scene. You can do this. Yeah, okay, cool.
I mean, there was a guard there, but we kind of forgot about them in this scene, which might be a plot hole, but I don't know who wrote this.
No.
Well, that's a plot hole for Laurie to work with as inspiration.
Indeed. So
I've
got an idea for the heist scene, but for the play, I'm thinking I want, and please do feel free to collaborate with me on this. I'm thinking it makes sense that it's the guard's helmet, the guard that Julia went to. Let's call them, we established was he, right? Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Could he stake the helmet to try and win the lamp back?
Yeah, I think Marcus is a little taken by Julia. And
it's a rom-com.
It is a rom-com. And yeah, offers to stake. And like, obviously, like, it's a symbol of his status and... Ooh. You know, we could probably get you in places, actually, which tap on the nose might be what we're hoping for off stage. And he's willing to stake his helmet for the chance to win back the lamp and I was about to say papers, but that's what we're getting. The lamp and the money of Julia's.
Yeah. And if he loses it, I'm going to guess that he would get fired.
Absolutely.
Not just fired, but like fired out of a cannon,
over the walls of the city.
just popped in an arbalest and thrown away.
Oh, no. Does somebody else have a coin? Would anyone else like to flip? Or shall I just... Am I the sole keeper of the coin?
You are holder of coin.
Okay. I'm happy to be
the
holder
coin
of
keeper.
Coin. Play succeeds. Oh! Okay.
Yay! It's a comedy again.
Yeah.
Woo. If you'd now like to role play the rhyming couplets with which he stakes the helmet and wins it all
Sweet
back.
Sweet maiden who I met today, my helmet I will throw away.
Not bad.
Nailed it.
Not bad.
Off stage in the heist, Gus is going to dress in one of the guards' outfits, including the helmet. So we'll now take their place. And as we've established, Gus is very good with stabby swords, so we'll be good for fighting and protecting if we need. Or at least that's the plan. So I guess I'm flipping to see if one of the guards is conveniently the same size as Gus.
One of those details that's like never really covered.
Just really handy that everybody is of the same build. Absolutely every single person in this world.
It's a one size fits all tux.
Yeah.
That was heads again.
Wow, this heist is going very
going well.
This is going well.
We were taught by the best, you know.
Well, we gained a lot of skills since tween-agedom.
Do we now have Gus sort of ensconced as one of the guards, kind of unknown?
Yes, in a dark corridor.
Yeah, just lurking.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ooh,
Does that make it my turn?
It does.
Exciting. Ah, five. Ooh. Five is a crown of leaves.
Good luck.
Nice. Okay. So I am going to cut to, in the main play, a ship is docking and... we didn't establish we were on the coast, but we established it was an island, and to all of us, that kind of equals coast.
I think a lot of Sicily is the coast.
Even though we live on an island and have not seen the coast since lockdowns began.
I like the idea that we're representing this on stage with little, like, shadow puppets of a boat coming into dock.
Well, I think we have to do that, because also, like, there's only four of us, and one of us is now gone to disguise as a guard, so we're having to do, like, a lot with a little.
Quick change going on.
Yeah.
We cut from the gambling den. I really thought about, like, Googling what the iniquitous band of thieves or den of iniquity or whatever the Star Wars quote is, but, like, I you know it, you say it in your head. We cut to the port. A ship is docking. We overhear a conversation where someone says, it's incredible what you achieved. As in the battle, you will get a crown of leaves when you are presented to the mayor, who is not evil in this town. It's really incredible that you had lost... You ascended so high in the navy in Sicily when you arrived, when we found you and you'd lost your memory. You.
Ah.
And they say that to a person that just looks strangely... like Julia, a young man. And everyone is patting him on the back and saying, well done, you. You are very good at doing war stuff on boats. and so he is going to be presented to the mayor. Oh, no, I need an obstacle. So they all say, yay, well done, you person who's... We've given you a new name, and it is Forget-Me-Nix. Because it doesn't have a memory. And he'll say, yeah, it's strange. This town, unlike any of the hundreds that I've gone to in this boat, what I am on, seems to stir some memories. So... He is going to say, before we go to the mayor, I'm going to explore the town a little bit. And so, Forget Minitrix is going to jump off the boat and go wandering, looking for perhaps some entertainment.
See what culture the town has to offer.
What's going on? Why does this seem to stir things in my brain? Because I don't know what did happen to of me. And he's going to stroll down the road and potentially be accosted. I'm going to say, we will say that he gets accosted. This is a long scene. he gets accosted by some robbers. Does he succeed in... boshing them on the head, or do they bosh him?
Presumably
the
robbers are after the very nice lamp that he's carrying.
Oh, yes, he'll say, I will wander around with my lamp, what is the only thing that I remember. But I just know that it means something. Maybe there was a matching one that someone else had. I don't know, though. I don't really remember, since you found me on that beach all beated up. And yeah, so that's what's going to happen. He's wandering around, he's got a lamp, and he's got a nice crown of leaves that he was given, which he has to keep until he gets presented to the mayor tomorrow, which probably shouldn't have done while drunk, while going out to get drunk. But anyway, yes, he gets accosted by the robbers. Does he succeed?
He does! I think I've got a weighted coin.
Yeah, this is like we're trying to steer it whatever way, and it's like, I will be a comedy. I'm going to say he gets attacked by the robbers. He beats the robbers up. He is good at that war stuff. But he's seen by a guard, and they don't recognise him. They're like, who are you, stranger, who's coming in? I've just seen you beating up those people. So maybe that leads onto the next
scene, whatever happens. In the heist bit... Oh, Lord.
Good luck.
Yeah, okay, so Gus is now standing outside the office in the Roman uniform. He uses that to go around the corner and be allowed into a door, as you kind of said he's going to use that disguise to get him through. I'm going to say he sneaks Brock, just because we've said that Little Wild is really tall, so it doesn't quite fit. He's going to sneak Brock in under his, like, Roman cloak, his guard cloak. Mm. And now Brock is going to try and get into the window on the second floor. He's got a crown of leaves. We've established that they didn't bring any of their real equipment. I'm going to use a crown of leaves like a lasso and tie something. I'm going to say that the Roman had some string in his pocket. He's going to tie something on it, and then he's going to try and open the window latch with the crown.
And
please,
he is a lock picker, so I guess it's just one of the tactics that...
Yeah, he's going to like swing it around his head and throw it up and try and open the window.
Does he get in through the window is what we're flipping for? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm afraid he does not.
Ooh, they are... I'm going to say it can't just be as simple as he doesn't get in. They are spotted. So Gus in his Roman attire and Brock in his being small and sneaky. Someone's like, oh, what's going on over there? And they panic. Should I say what might happen to them, or should I leave that to whoever?
Hmm.
It seems like a fun problem to solve.
Yeah, I think that.
Someone is running towards them. Cool. Yes. Okay. It was tricky, but I got the twin in.
I actually think that's probably a good point for a break. And then when we come back, we can do another four scenes for act one.
Yes, it is.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whoa, that was soon. Yes, we're back. we've done one round of scenes, which means that we are back to Helen.
Yes. Okay, time to roll my dice. 7.
Ooh.
The dagger! The one actually useful thing. So, in the play, let's have a think. No, I'll go with the easy one. Shall I call him Julius or shall I call him Forget Minatrix?
Thanks, Liz.
It's a perfectly Cromulent name. What?
Forget Minatrix is the lead, and he is now proud of himself having beaten up all these robbers, and he's going to attempt to menace the guard to leave him alone, be kind of, do you know who I am? I'm going to be honoured tomorrow, and these are robbers.
Do you know who I am? Because I don't.
Yes, that kind of thing. So his goal is basically to try and intimidate the guard with the aid of his dagger.
Hey. Chekhov's dagger.
And obviously the obstacle is whether the guard is impressed or not.
Would you like me to flip now?
Yes, please. Please do flip.
Absolute success.
Woo!
Good lord. Okay.
Does somebody else want to flip?
I can go and get a coin. I can do some flipping. Hang on.
Just keeps landing on heads.
I mean, that'll happen on a 50-50 chance.
I mean, this is true.
So for the success of that, the guard will, in a overwrought, dramatic, and overstated way, will be like, oh, I did not recognize you, Forget-Me-Natrix. We have heard tales of your doings on the sea. I shall escort you to wherever you want to go. And so now Forget-Me-Natrix has a loyal guard on his
Ooh.
Side.
Add to inventory.
Yes, add to inventory, one guard. Guards are featuring a lot in this play.
Yeah.
Right. The heist bit, which involves a dagger. I mean, the last thing we had was a failure.
And folks, let's not call them, like, guards, hench people. Hench folks.
Yeah, hench.
Were bearing down on Brock and Gusset.
Oh, so do we know how many?
I think that's up to you. There's one person had called the alarm in my scene, but you can decide what kind of fight this is. If it's a fight, you could... Oh, it could... Oh, we're running towards you to say, hey.
Nice, cool mohawk horse hair hat you've got there.
We like your hat.
Do you know what? Yeah, I think Brock and Gusset, seeing the hench people approaching, are now going to be like, oh no, how are we going to get ourselves out of this one? And I think they are going to attempt to convince the guards that this is all part of the play.
It's an immersive experience.
They're sneaking around backstage. Look, we have a dagger, just like in the play. That kind of
I love it.
To try so be like, if you we need to go and like arrange things backstage in quotation marks, and you are interrupting important artistic business. So let's see if they convince the hench people of that, the hench folk. Fucking I mean, it was heads, even though I scared myself with flipping the coin towards my face.
That is a difficult that's some high persuasion. They didn't learn that from Sasha. That is quite the bluff.
Maybe they
check.
Learned it from Cicero.
Yeah. That's the Cicero education.
I can't believe they succeeded that, but yeah, 50-50 chance, eh?
Love it.
Okay, the hench folk are very interested in the arts and in groundbreaking new techniques.
Yeah, I couldn't get a ticket for the punch drunk stuff, so it's great I've really got an opportunity now.
Yeah, and so they're like, oh well, far be it from us to stand in the way.
Oh, is this a VIP experience?
Wow, I love these things. Like, who'd have thought if we walked into this random room? We all seen to ourselves.
You're going to do some acting for us then?
Yeah.
So Gusset and Brock are now free to go on their merry way to continue towards the office, or attempting to get into the office via that window. Okay. Ben next.
Okay, right. Let's roll my D20. But 8.
Ooh.
High heel sandals.
Yay!
Woo! The glamour, the danger.
Okay.
The twisted ankles.
Yeah. Okay. So we had it so that the guard was taking Forget-Me-Natrix. Were they showing them the sights, right? Or
no, they were taking them to the mayor's.
Taking them to the mayor's office.
To be honored, right?
Yeah. But okay, in which case, so they are taken to, Forget-Me-Natrix is taken to the mayor's office, and unbeknownst to them, Julia, after having had her money and lamp, beloved lamp, won back, is also heading to the mayor's office because, you know, the crime has been resolved, as it were, but she is going to complain about the dire situation in this this town. And she has gone first and is having a meeting with the mayor where she's, you know, reading him the riot act. But as is customary in this part of Sicily, sure, she has to leave her shoes at the door, and she's wearing just a lovely pair of high-heeled sandals, also gifted by her mother. She has a lot of... heirlooms.
Priceless heirlooms.
Yeah, carries around
for daily use.
Just loads of heirlooms. So And as Forget Menatrix comes into the room, he sees these sandals. He's like, why do I recognise these sandals? They make me feel things. And the obstacle here is Forget Menatrix's own memory. And will he remember anything?
A will save.
yes, he makes a will save. Helen, do you want to flip this one?
Okay. Be prepared for me to shriek again.
Yes.
I caught it this time.
Ooh, well done.
It's genuinely heads again.
Okay. And success.
This is a very blessed recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suddenly we enter into like a surreal memory dream sequence. Julia's flying across the stage on wires is very impressive. As Forget Menatrix is like, wait, these are my sister's sandals. And then we'll leave it there. However, outside, the issue is that the Brock and Gus have realised that the problem here is that room was too exposed. They were seen very quickly, so they need to get higher and maybe try and find another way in to that room. And they decide, well, what if we tried to get down instead of going up? So, using the same method as before with the old cloak concealment, they managed to find their way up to the attic. But unfortunately, the door to the attic is locked. Fortunately, Brock has stole a pair of stiletto-heeled sandals, as is the custom. They're very...
was very easy because the previous wearer was on the ground yelling about their twisted ankle.
They just found them in someone's front garden and be like, please take these away. These are horrible things. And is using them as impromptu lockpicks, given that they left their lockpicks at home. So we'll see if they can get through. Lowry! Now we have two coins in play. Do you want to do the offstage?
Yes! They fail.
Oh,
I'm afraid the stilettos are not thin enough.
Wow, Brock sucks.
Like ramming it in.
It's straight up that. They jam them into the lock and they just get stuck. And they try and get it out, and the heel breaks off in the lock, and it's like, oh no, I've completely
nightmare.
Yeah, it's like when you get your stiletto caught between two paving slabs. Oh,
yeah. That's it. That's wah wah. That's
wah,
me.
Wah indeed. Right, tis I. I will roll my 16. Number one, a flute.
Ooh,
which has featured a little before, but unofficially. Inside the chamber with the mayor and Julia, and Julia's pleading her case, right? Or bringing up all the...
Just kind of being like, you suck
crime
at your job.
Crime is bad.
Yeah, crime bad. There's a lot of you suck, you dog.
Off Sicily.
Oh, yeah.
Where we are, you dog, yeah, no, yeah.
Quotes the name of the play at least once.
Yeah.
Yes. Dramatic pause after the name of the play so everyone can let it sink in. You dog of Sicily! As established... It's the mayor, right, and not the king in the play?
Yeah!
Thinly veiled analogy
allegory,
for the actual mayor.
Oh, right, yes, sorry, yes,
and
in the play. Yes.
Yeah, and they keep accidentally calling the mayor instead of king, which, you know, is a bit risky, but there you go. The mayor/king is, as established, evil and does not care about the crime. Indeed, all the mayor cares about is mahoney.
Honey?
No, mahoney.
His honey? Oh, delicious.
Cash. Less delicious. So I'm trying to decide, what do you think, peoples? I'm trying to decide if I want Julia to be a master flauntist that he's going to somehow take advantage of in some way, or if there's a flauntist present in the scene, just as like general background noise that will later come into play.
Or the mayor only cares about music as well as money, and so it's just like, I don't care about your crime.
Love crime, love money, love investing in the arts. Those are the three things that...
Yeah, Yeah, all right. I like that. I like that a lot. There's just a flautist there playing like a beautiful, beautiful air. So the atmosphere in, like, on stage in the scene is actually really lovely. Like, it's, but this juxtaposition of like this really calming music deep is happening. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. But obviously they have to have a really politic, is that a word, conversation where Judah has to be really careful, because it's like just, it just adds that element of danger that it's like we're talking
spooky
about something
flute.
Yeah, no not spooky flute, lovely flute, but then it's like this could turn at any time, you know, when someone's just really nice and cultured with the little quotes. But
yeah.
what's my goal slash obstacle here? So the mayor has said no, and Julia, I think Julia's maybe in a bit of danger here.
Mm. Is the flautist like a secret assassin for the mayor who will get rid of Julia for being
maybe
a thorn in his side?
Yeah, I mean, she is. I was going to go down the route of she's a thorn in his side, and she has now pieced together. She now knows that he is the top person in the crime. Mm. In the crime.
Because he was like, I love crime. It's brilliant.
I love crime, I do. Crime and Chopin. Did Chopin write any music? He definitely existed at this point.
Chopinus, please.
So Julia needs to extract herself safely from this situation. Mm. Helen, would you like to flip for me?
Yes.
Please.
Every time Helen flips a coin, they're just like freaking out, like as if they don't
know the rules.
You expect one of the outcomes could be an explosion.
It's like a cat seeing a cucumber.
Yeah. It's another heads.
Oh wow! Okay, so
everything's coming up. These guys.
Yeah.
Is there like a fight scene, but with flutes instead of lightsabers?
Is there a
yeah,
dance-off?
Yeah, they have a flute off.
No, they're just fighting with the flutes. Like, and you never expect. You are a problem.
We have already established that flutes in this world are can also be projectile weapons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the flauntist is spitting darts as well as beats, I guess.
And what if what if Juliet produces this really beautiful dagger, which, you know, we've seen, which was her parents' dagger. It's like, it's another heirloom that was given to both her and her brother, a matching set of daggers, and she's now fighting the flutters with
her. Yes, absolutely.
Flute is just like attacking her with the flute. Yeah.
She's like parrying darts out of the air with a dagger.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's what's going on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Off stage. Where did we leave our merry band? So we've got a stiletto stuck in a lock. Things aren't going well, hey? Right, we really need to get into this room, and we've got a flute to do it with.
Sure, we'll save the day. That flute.
I think... So whoever... Obviously, the flauntist is evil... Well, evil. Bad in the play, but it's played by one of us. So let's say it's Lil Wild. You are the flauntist.
Yeah.
And you, because you can see, maybe because the stage is raised, you saw what happened, and you know that what they need is like a sharp, more of a point to get into that lock, and your darts are a point, so you're going to blow one of those darts with your flute to Brock and Gus. I mean, I know I'm now putting quite a range on this flute, slash you're quite close to the stage.
The flute's magic.
Lil Wild has big lungs.
Absolutely. Lil Wild's big lungs. Yeah, so you're going to try and get a dart to them so that they can try and get into the room.
If we succeed on this one, I really want the dart to go straight into the
glass. Yes! And just the lock springs open.
Wait, that, and if you fail, it goes straight into one of your legs.
No.
Have you ever picked a lock with your lungs?
Okay, shall I flip?
Yeah.
Oh, it failed.
Oh, no!
Is that a dart in the buttock?
Yeah, there's a moment of like, don't yell.
Yeah.
Excellent. Lydia, you have to bring us to the end of Act 1.
I do. Yeah. I have to end it. Right, okay. Let's roll this D16. Right. 4. That was a roll of thunder.
Ooh, how dramatic.
The wobble board.
Excellent.
Cool. So, in the play, we're going to say that Julia, having succeeded in getting away, jumps out of the window to escape alongside her new guard, Beau, who very much has the crush on
is
her.
Is this Marcus?
Marcus, I think
the guard's
I said,
name is Marcus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus, yeah, okay. Marcus. Cool, cool. I meant Beau as in he's, you know, the pretty
he
one.
He is pretty.
Yeah, he's pretty. Lovely Marcus. They jump out the window just at the point as Julius / Forget Minitrix comes in to the room.
Dang it!
And because Julius is there with a bunch of guards who come to escort him for the ceremony, the evil mayor and their sneaky flautist have to kind of back up and rather than chase Julius and the guard out the window, they'd be like, yeah, what? No, we weren't doing anything
just
suspicious.
Just all nonchalantly leaning on the window being like, oh, we were just getting some air.
Not just here, what? Huh? Yeah, we can do that ceremony now. So Julius and his entourage, I'm going to say he picked up more guards. We've just got so many guards in this, but basically we've only got like 3 costumes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of puppets, a lot of people wearing like extra guards off their off their shoulders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They've got like a whole, they've got one of those shoulder things and they've got puppets on the other side like to make them look like a
record
crowd.
Player with a guard on it, like kind of like Home Alone style.
Or just a series of masks that we keep swapping between.
Yeah. So, Forget Minitrix and all the guards, they're going to have their ceremony, and the guard, like, his request, so he gets to ask a boon because he did so well. His request is for because he's remembered loads of stuff since he got here, is to say to the mayor, tell me who I am. Let me know what happened, what was the history here. So that's that. I'm going to have Helen flip it just because it's the terror is hilarious.
Okay. I'm like that guy from Friday Night Dinner who's scared of his own dog. Tails.
Ooh.
I have
so.
Oh, no, go on.
Yep. No, go on. Go on.
Well, I wondered if they fail, could the mayor. Because obviously we've established that Forget Minitrix, the name I have not said yet.
Yeah. Forget Minitrix.
Forget Minitrix.
Oddly like Julia.
Yeah. Forget Minitrix is very skilled at, you know, being a mercenary or fighting or what have you. Could the mayor set him to kill Julia? Like a hit on Julia?
So he lies. The mayor lies about Forget Minitrix's past and it's like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Your parents were killed by this woman or something.
This woman who just
excellent.
Jumped.
No, I like that.
That's quite a nice cliffhanger to end Act One on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, the mayor lies. The mayor says, yes, I can remember you. So how did you end up on that beach all beaten up, not remembering anything? Well, an imposter came into town and tried to steal your life and your family and you valiantly fought them and they beat you up. But don't worry, we have found who they are and you can do a favor for me and redeem your own honor by hunting them down and fighting them.
Peal of thunder.
peal of thunder, indeed. And a storm starts, which will be important later because it lowers visibility. And them being twins, that's going to be important. So there you go. Right. Cool. That is a good ending for our... Thank you, Laurie. That was brilliant. In the heist, it has gotten quite comedic in the attempts to get through this door. So they've decided that instead they're going to crawl around the side and smash a window. Of course, that would be loud. So they're going to use the wobble board to make a roll of thunder at the same time. So they one of them takes the board and says, like, we'll sync up our sundial watches and we will, I'll make sure that I do the wobbling thunder at the same time as you are smashing the window. So it sounds like thunder.
All part of the immersive experience of the play, yeah, as well.
Oh, it sounds like thunder's coming, yes, everywhere. Wow.
All yeah, part of that, yeah. So I suppose the obstacle is, can they get the timing right? I'm going to say that definitely the window will
thank
get
you,
smashed.
Liz.
Yes.
Get us into this room.
Get us in this room.
Yeah. The window will be smashed no matter what. That's going to happen. But do they manage to sync up the timing or do they attract all the attention? I think there's enough tension already, so I'm going to ask Lowry to flip it just because there's enough tension without Helen's terror.
Oh my god, it's heads! Yes! They do it! Woo! No attention! We're in the room!
Yeah. Everyone's like, wow! There's the thunder everywhere! But yeah, they get in and... Oh, it's really just Gusset up there now, I guess. And because Brock headed down with the wobble board to distract and do thunder somewhere else. So Gusset is in the room, going to be looking up those sweet, sweet secret documents.
I mean, that's the end of Act 1.
It's the end of Act 1. It's the end of this episode. And it is a cliffhanger.
So since we whispered goodbye last time, do we have to shout it over the thunder this time?
Yeah, sure.
Goodbye! See you next week!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.